This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show, and we appreciate you taking us along for the ride on a Monday. Fun day, lots of things to talk about. Yes, it's the week of the Texans-Cowboys game. Yes, the Texans got their first win. Yes, the Astros set a franchise record with 103 regular season wins and won the division. And now we'll wait till Friday when they open up the series against the Cleveland Indians. But passion has abound the show, and a little bit of a tiff between Barry and Nick in the football town versus the baseball town versus phone balls.
Well, I
dumbass.
All I have is facts and science to support my arguments.
Nick, well, I'm just working. I don't have time to do research. I can't Google anything.
Oh, really? Imagine that. I don't know. You seem to be do fine on Wednesdays when you're putting together a list for Way Back Wednesday.
And you won last week, so.
Yeah, I did, by the way. You know that?
Joel, you just can't get a W. You're like one.
No, I'm gonna start getting the most obnoxiously bad lists possible and saying "suck it" to all you people because I don't care anymore.
Speaking of, let's get some text because I haven't done any text all day and I don't want to. We've had a ton of calls, but I don't want to exclude our texters. You guys good with that? Get a couple out of the way.
Sure.
Titan Hugo said, "How about them Titans?" All right, we'll move on. That's stupid.
It's a big win for them.
It's a huge win.
I watched the end of that game. It was. They're for real, man.
You know what?
I didn't think so, and they are.
Even OU Mike texted and said, I was harsh towards Vrabel. He actually didn't suck. It was just the Texans. Kind of seems that way. I mean, he's I don't know what he's doing over there, and they're the new cardiac kid to the NFL. But congrats to you, Titan Hugo.
Yes, no question about it.
By the way, good to see you. Thanks for coming out to the rap battle, which you guys didn't even ask me how it went.
Well, we're trying to get the jerks.
I won.
Did you really?
I won my round.
No, you did.
It was close. No, I did.
All right, I believe
it. Bitch. Doubt me. Yeah, I won. It was close, though. I started off really hot and then faded, and he started off slow and then
picked it
up down the stretch. So, yeah, it was pretty close. It was a crowd vote, but I pulled out the dub. Who's the worst team in the NFL? Are the Browns better than the Steelers? I'm embarrassed fan Juan. I would say right now the Browns and the Steelers are even.
You think they're one of those two worst
tied.
Teams?
They played and tied.
Do you think that those are the two worst teams in football?
I don't think the Steelers are one of the worst teams in football.
Cardinals?
Yeah.
Although they look better with Rosen.
The Bills are a joke.
Yeah, although they embarrassed the Vikings.
They got stomped by the Packers. You knew that.
Did they? I don't know. There's some bad teams out there.
Yeah,
the Niners without Garoppolo in a running game, although they held their own yesterday. So I don't know.
Yeah, I still don't believe in the Giants, even though they beat the Texans. The Texans aren't good. The Colts aren't good.
Jets aren't great.
Nope. Cardinals are bad. Yeah, and the Bills.
Yeah.
I think when all said and done,
where's Cody today? I haven't heard from him.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Isn't it though?
Look at that. He talked
what difference
all
a week makes,
smack.
Cody?
Talks all that smack, and
yep.
Then what? What are y'all's thoughts on Jimbo Fisher grabbing Tyrell Dotson's face mask?
I don't
too
think
far?
You can get away with it anymore.
Or
is
everyone getting too soft? I have no problem with it.
I don't either.
And he
I
didn't
don't either.
And that's the thing. If he didn't, and he said, I love Coach. He's my guy. He said he was mad at him because he didn't want him to get thrown out. And he's like, I need you to win this game. You're important to us winning. You got to stay in the game. That's how they used to coach football. When I played football, which was a long, long time ago. Leather helmets and
Woody Hayes.
Yeah, but they, I mean, dude, and when I was in junior high, my coach would grab me by the face mask and scream at me. What's
Here's the thing. There wasn't any violent intent, right? It wasn't like the Woody Hayes days or the where he'd wind up and slap the side of your helmet. Or he would grab and like pull you to the ground with the face mask. I'm with you, Barry. When we played football, coaches were not shy about if they needed to get your attention, that was the easiest way to do it. If you're not looking at him, you look me in the eye, young man, and they grab the face mask, they direct it towards you. It is a product of society today
soft-ass
that we're
kids.
Dealing with this, but he didn't punch him. He didn't slap him. He just grabbed him, and he basically was trying to tell him, hey, you already screwed up by wanting to fight. Snap out of it. I had no problem with it.
Me either. And if you did, you're soft.
Okay, there's the end of it that I didn't expect, but that'll be what triggers some people.
Yes,
but that's fine.
Whatever. But I agree with the texter. Is everyone getting soft? Yeah. If that was too far to you, but you can watch football and you can watch all this violence and bitch about, oh, they're just protecting the quarterback. But then, I mean, you want that violence, but just a guy that's acting like an a-hole gets his face mask grabbed by his coach. Ah, whatever.
That's ridiculous.
All right, where to go? That was Ben the Skeleton. Barry's right. I'm from Dallas, and I've never understood the Houston-Dallas rivalry thing. I don't know. I didn't know there was a rivalry, easy for me to say, until I moved to Houston and found out Houston hates Dallas. That's from NASCAR Johnny. This is a football state. The city supports winners. And that's a good point. This is a football state.
Yep.
I don't know. Take from that. I get like high school and all that is a big deal down here, but I think pro sports is
different.
Just don't
go if you don't have a student in the game that you are related to.
That's right.
Okay.
Nope, that one's dumb.
previewing on the run?
No, I had flagged it, and then I thought, no, I don't want to do it. It was about Kevin Durant and Space Jam. Oh, nobody cares about that. Nope. Who had a better home run throwback, the guy from Boston who hit Stanton or Henry Rowan Gartner? I don't know,
Henry Rowan Gartner.
But did you see
that fan? That was cool.
Did you see the guy that plunked, that hit Stanton with the ball?
Did you read the backstory too?
So badass.
They went looking for him, which is, I mean, this is a tradition that started at Wrigley Field. Everybody does it, throw it back. So they went looking for him, and he and his buddy had already slipped out the aisle, but they were on the concourse. So eventually, an older security guard was like, hey, were you the guy? And he's like, kind of shamefully, he admitted it. Then they made him fill out paperwork and do all this different stuff so that he was on record and they had him and whatever. And even Stanton was cool about it.
He saluted him like, hey, that's pretty.
It's a good throw.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not a big deal.
You obviously don't want to set the precedence for people to be trying to hit guys with the ball as they round the bases, but
it's another society of soft
time,
moment.
At the same time, it was pretty cool. I mean, you got
to
admit.
Yeah, but if you hit him in his head or something, it would have been bad.
He had a helmet
on.
He'd be
fine. Far away?
You never know. He could have hurt him. I mean, that's a pretty far throw. You never know. I think the part of the reason why they wanted to document everything, because in the event something happened, they can go back to him, you know?
I don't know. There's
I would have never filled out that paperwork.
I don't know. The Orioles need to call him and maybe look at the replacement for Jones in center field, because he's got a cannon.
Or a pitcher, depending on what they need most.
One of the two.
Did you see that tweet about this is a football town from Kyle?
No.
What
you didn't read that, did you?
No.
You should.
Why?
Because you're tagged.
I think Kyle just said it's a football town, right?
I don't care what Kyle says. There's so many people on Twitter that I don't care what they say. There's like the guy that's like, I'm a Cowboys fan, but let me tell you about the Texans. You know what? Shut up. You don't get to talk about both. That's dumb. I'm a huge Cowboys fan, and I hate our fans. There you go.
See, I don't hate them, but I do think they're one of the more delusional fan bases. No question.
Someone on text message too saying, arrogant Cowboys fans, this coming from a Packer fan. Come on, man. Stop it. Seriously? That's part of the reason why I have fun and kiddingly call the Packers America's team, because the arrogance of Cowboys fans that I had to deal with for 20 some odd years and being on the road at games in Texas Stadium, it's just, it was a level that I had never ever experienced before in terms of arrogance from a fan base. So whatever.
You never been around a Raiders fan?
The black hole's a different. That's not more of an arrogance.
They'll stab
That's
you.
Just a nastiness. Yeah, they just want to whoop your ass.
They'll stab
and
you.
And they wear shoulder pads with spikes.
Amazon B's brother said, I'm a Cowboys fan from birth, but I'm also an Aggies fan, so I never brag or talk crap because I know the highs are never as high and the lows are always lower. It's kind of true. As a lifelong Aggie and Oiler fan, I had. There's. The hell? It sucks.
It's another delusional fan base, A&M. Yeah. Sorry.
Nick is just
A&M delusional fan base. Cowboys, delusional fan base. Tim Tebow fans, delusional fan base.
Why do you think A&M is delusional?
Because every time they win the game, they're the best team in football. They're the best team to ever touch a football, but every time they lose the game, they have a million and one excuses, just like Cowboys fans.
I don't know what Aggie fans you're talking to, but pretty much every Aggie fan I know is just like a whoop dog. They're just like, yeah, we suck. We're not good. I don't know any Aggie fan that goes around bragging. If they are, they haven't been an Aggie fan for very long.
You don't know any Aggie fan that goes around bragging?
For what? What are you going to brag about the Aggies.
They brag
are
a lot.
Terrible. They've always been bad.
Yeah, but Nick, that's UT what fans that's what makes the them mad. UT fans do the same thing.
Delusional means you think your team is better than it is because of the past. Like the Aggies have never been that good. Johnny Manziel one time beat Bama. That's it. You ever hear an Aggie bring that up? Hell no.
And Johnny Manziel's all over the campuses. He's all over he's like a god on Texas A&M campus.
But that's just there. That has nothing to do with being a delusional fan base. Why would that have to be like that?
Can we fight more after the break?
I mean, we can. I'm sure we will.
Yeah, we will.
All right. So hold that thought, I think. But in the meantime, look, we still got about 45 minutes to go in the show.
Roger,
if you
want
to join
we'll
the show like Roger. Roger, we're going to get to you next. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. I do want to tell you right now about the good people at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time. We all know who Mattress Mac is and what he does. And it goes much farther than just a guy that reaches out and takes care of the community in times of need. He wants you to know Gallery Furniture is there for you as a furniture store every time you need furniture in the Houston area. To better serve you, they have three locations now: Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria area, and of course, I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which one of the three locations you choose, same quality American-made furniture that's going to last, same top-notch customer service that is going to make sure that you are pleased and you want to go back every time you need something. It's because they're focused on Houstonians. They are Houstonians. They want you to think Gallery Furniture when you need furniture. It's brands like Stickley, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, American-made companies, solid products that are going to be with you and your family, almost like heirlooms. It's the fact that the delivery guys, when you buy your furniture, there are no backorder slips. There's no waiting days and weeks for the furniture to come in. What you see is what you get, and what you get is going to be within 3 to 4 hours. And when they get there and they deliver your furniture, they're going to make sure that they ask if there's anything else they can do before they leave. Rearrange furniture, get rid of furniture, take care of you any way they can. It's just the way they do business. And the main thing that Mac has in every one of his commercials, it's not just a marketing slogan, it's a way of doing business in the Houston community. That means that Gallery Furniture really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep and out, number three of the big show. We do three. Blitz takes over till 7. So we'll take you up until 4. No simulcast today as they have baseball on the other side. Lots of congratulations to be had, first and foremost. What's our guy that always calls in with Bulls and Cubs in Chicago? Is it Robert? Haven't heard from him in a while, but lying. I'm pretty sure we won't hear from him today. Congratulations go out to the Milwaukee Brewers, who just won the National League Central, and they will not have to play in the wild card tomorrow. You did not. But congrats to the Brew Crew. Hey, yeah. And also, congrats to the Sugarland Skeeters. The Skeeters, who were in the championship series and were up 2-0, faced a Game 5 yesterday and got the victory for Pete Incaviglia. Another win.
Why are you yawning? Are you okay? Why are you sleeping?
I'm good. Or as Lanny Fritz said.
I was just going to say, did you hear
Pete
it too?
Pete Inkfall.
No, Ancavola. She
was like, what is
Randy
it, Randy?
Take it. And Randy went, Pete Incaviglia.
That happened?
It was almost like a pig noise. She went, Pete, oink, and I'm going to take it, Randy.
It's all good. I've said worse.
Yeah, I've messed up plenty of names.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I noticed that you're bringing back those, not the t-shirts, but a hoodie version.
Of the...
Welcome to the Land.
Yeah.
I just saw that on Facebook.
Did you? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
How can you design that so quickly?
I've already had the design. I just thought with it being cool that it would be nice to have it would be cool to have a hoodie and a long sleeve.
So is this going to be like a temporary thing, like the t-shirts?
That's like what Trey was like, well, when are you going to bring them back? Well, that's why I make them kind of exclusive. Like, you've got to buy it now.
And if you're out there thinking that you're going to offer a lower price than a two-for-one, we're going to hammer you if you do it. Stay out of here. It's Barry's shirt idea, not yours. I need to fix my eye.
I was thinking the exact same thing. What could I do to knock off this design and sell it for a fraction?
You're too lazy to pull it.
ProducerNick.com.
You're too lazy.
I'll sell it on that website.
You're just way too lazy to make that
that's
happen.
That's probably true.
That's 1,000% true. I know for a fact. You're never going to do that. Now, there was Stalker Brian who was like, I can't wait to put this on my head. Shut up. Stop making the face. You know I can't focus. You know I can't focus when you do the face. All right, let's talk college football. Let's get to it. Well, first of all, week 6 rankings. Polls are out. And
it's always scary when the polls are out.
Can we talk for a moment before we get to the polls? Because I'm gonna get there. This is just a roundabout way of doing it. Again, they have Kirk Herbstreit on the Ohio State call. Once again.
It's a hot button for us.
And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Now, to his credit, he does a pretty good job of not letting his Buckeye show.
For the most part.
He does a pretty good job. I just still feel like you can't let that dude call as many Ohio State games as he calls. And then they'll have him on game day, and they're doing picks, and they're like, well, what's your pick for Ohio State, Penn State? And he's like, well, I'm not going to pick. Well, why not? Can you not be objectionable? Can you not?
He doesn't want to have his locker taken away at the horseshoe.
Then guess what? If you can't be objective there, then you probably shouldn't be calling a game.
I don't disagree. I don't want Aikman doing Cowboy games either.
I'm with you. I don't need Aikman. I don't need Phil Simms doing Giants games.
I don't need Romo doing
I don't need
Cowboys.
Phil Simms doing any games. Let's be real.
Well, but I'll tell you what. Giants. You can have that if I can have Joe Buck never do another Packer game.
Why don't you like Joe Buck on a Packer game?
Oh, my God. We've been through this. There's Buck a lot is, of people yeah. that don't like Joe Buck, but Joe
I
Buck.
I love
oh,
Joe. Boy. I love Joe. Well, anyway, so Kirk Herbstreit, after the game, his Buckeye did show. Because he says, well, I think this makes them number two in the country.
I didn't hear him say that, but I stuck it out as long as I could. Once James Franklin made the worst fourth down call I've ever seen, I basically was like, yeah, it's over, click.
You already are number four in the country, ahead of the number nine team. So you're supposed to beat the number Correct. Nine team. And now I get it. It's a good win. It's in the Big Ten, and it's against a top 10 opponent and all that.
But everybody's assuming because Clemson's quarterback got his bell rung that should immediately drop them. Let me remind you, with their third-string quarterback, they still got it done.
Yeah.
They got a win. So you can't just predict the rest of the outcomes and base your rankings this week on that. You don't know what's going to happen, and they got the win they needed. So you can't immediately just drop them in the rankings just because you beat Penn State.
Now, the only argument that you would make is that Ohio State has beaten number 9 Penn State and at the time number 15 TCU. Other than that, I mean, Clemson really doesn't have a win. The Aggie win wasn't that proves to be nothing. The Bama doesn't really have a marquee win. They're not going to though until they get towards the end of the year when they play LSU and Auburn, but right now, you can make the case in a way for Ohio State moving up a spot.
They got
maybe
a good team, but look, for the
you
most part,
you beat a top 10 team.
Penn State, am I wrong by saying Penn State was in control of that game for most of the game?
No. I
certainly the first half, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so I could make the case for them bumping Clemson just because Clemson really, yeah, they don't really have a marquee win, but you could say the same thing about Georgia. And if you got a win against a top 10 and a top 15 team within your first four games, that's pretty good. I don't know. Do you penalize Georgia and Clemson if you're going to have them ranked 2 and 3 and they're beating everybody on their schedule?
You're doing what you're supposed to
do. I mean, Clemson struggled with A&M, so maybe that's why you move Ohio State in front of Clemson. Georgia really hasn't. I don't see why you would bump them either.
Yeah, I see. I
think I would be okay bumping Clemson, moving Ohio State up to 3, but I don't know.
Here's the thing. That's the same reason why you don't poo-poo on Clemson, because of the fact that, yeah, Trevor Lawrence went out. Yeah, you had to go to your third-string quarterback. But yeah, you still won. So until you get pushed to the brink and then you fall, that's exactly my point too. Because Clemson's still a very talented team.
They are, but I think the big knock will be that A&M game. I mean, let's be real. That when you look at what Bama did to the Aggies and what Clemson did to the Aggies, then you could say, well, there's your separation between the teams and how good they were. If Clemson was legitimately a top 2-3 team, then they should have done the same thing to the Aggies what Bama did. Do you think Ohio State barely beats the Aggies 28-26?
In my mind, Ohio State, as much, and you know me with the Big Ten and everything like that, but I'll tell you, and Urban Meyer, who I can't stand, but I'll tell you this, Ohio State is probably the second most talented team in the country.
Georgia's pretty damn good.
But they haven't played anybody either. Now, the SEC, is going to really tell us a lot about Georgia.
Georgia's pretty good.
And they are talented.
Yeah.
But I just think the talent, both sides of the football.
I'm with you. Ohio State's
loaded.
Yeah. I pissed a few people off on Twitter when this game started. Because I asked, and it sure did get silent. But I said, so is everybody that's, and I don't need phone calls, just save them because I really don't care. The moment has passed. I'm just sharing a funny little thing that happened on Twitter. As I said, is everybody that's boycotting Nike and the NFL for the kneeling, are you guys boycotting this Ohio State-Penn State game? Because, you know, the domestic violence and the child molesters and stuff like that. Radio silence. That's odd how that happens.
You win, Barry.
Odd how that happens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, all right, we got a little college football in there.
Mm-hmm. How'd your Badgers do?
They didn't play.
Okay. Well, lucky for you.
Horns won again.
Yeah.
Tom Herman's resurrecting the program as we speak.
I tell you what, they're playing well.
They're playing better football.
They're looking good.
Yeah. And we've already touched on Jimbo and A&M.
Tech gonna tech.
Jimbo and A&M had their hands a little bit more full of Arkansas than I expected, by the way. And Tech was in an out. I watched that too. That was actually an entertaining game because the over there, oh my goodness, did they score points with West Virginia. but they lost. So
yeah.
There you go. There's your college football wrap-up. We'll continue to roll on. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we've got 30 minutes on the clock. We're happy to take your call, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listen Line. You can also text that number, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff was in studio last week. I switched to Infuse Energy a little over a year ago, and I cannot begin to tell you guys how much money I have saved with Infuse Energy. I made the switch from a big company to Infuse. My wife was very apprehensive, thinking you had to have the big company because they're the ones that are trusted because of reliability. It's not the case. Not only has Infuse been fantastic and reliable, and we've never had an issue, but the money that I've saved on a monthly basis, especially during the dog days of summer, is incredible, and it's in the thousands of dollars. And it's all because Josh told me from the get-go, he's not going to try and screw me over. He's going to put numbers in front of me. He's going to show me the usage and when I use it the most, when I use it the least, and the rate that makes sense for me and the contract that I need. And everything that he has said he's going to do, he did. And that's all I can ask for from an energy company. I don't need you to be best friends and go have beers. I need you to do what you're supposed to do in terms of my energy. And they do absolutely that and more. They're 100% honest. They don't try and screw you. They're going to make sure they're there for you. And they're going to take care of you all along the way. Right off the top, you call them up at 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit just to start. And they go from there. If you want to see it with more information in front of you, go to infuseenergy.com. But either way, get in contact with them and realize the people there, just like Josh and his staff, are locally owned and operated, and they are here to make sure they service you in a very customer-friendly way. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. If you want to play fantasy football but don't want to get locked down for the whole season, then play with us. Just log on to ESPN975.com and click on the Pro Football Pick'em brought to you by Bombshells. You can play for a week. You can play for a couple weeks. You can play for the whole year. If you think you got it all figured out, it's up to you. Each week, we're giving away prizes to the top three winners. One of this week's prizes is a Burberry London from Perfume Time. For almost 30 years, Perfume Time has been saving Houstonians money with their wholesale pricing. Stop paying retail at the big box stores and drop in at Perfume Time at 8000 Harwin and check out their selection of name brands, perfumes, colognes, and watches.
Burberry London?
That's what it says. Burberry London from Perfume Time.
That's a scent?
Apparently.
You can get it.
Smells like bad teeth. I don't know.
You can get it in Kuntz?
No. Several people are saying Herb Street never picks the games that he calls. That's because he always calls an OSU game. I don't know what someone said. There's a law.
I mean,
I don't know if there's a law. Maybe it's a
he gets the big national game on ABC on Saturday nights, and obviously Chris Fowler has replaced Musburger, and so Ohio State's a top five school. They're going to appear from time to time.
Yeah. Somebody asked on the text line, is Tua of Alabama QB, is he a Heisman candidate? Yeah, he's the front runner.
Tagovailoa, yeah. He's definitely the leader in the clubhouse.
He's the front runner right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. You see that Jalen Hurts decided to stick it out?
Yeah.
He would have had to sit out this weekend if he was going to redshirt. Yeah. He's going to stick it out.
Good
the
for
interesting
him,
thing
Kelly
is going to be if Kelly Bryant comes back.
That was
because
a weird
what
thing.
What was really, really weird was the interview that they did both at halftime and after the game with Dabo.
And he was like, we moved on.
No.
Yeah, he said that.
Not at halftime. He was like, we'll take him back. He's a good kid. If he wants to come back, we'll take him back.
Post game, we've moved on. That's what he said.
I didn't hear that.
Yep. He said, we've moved on. We're looking forward.
Because the thing is, too, is that it's not a concussion. It's a concussion. It's not anything serious. So it's not like this is like the end of the season for Clemson, and they got to play the third-string quarterback.
All right.
So.
Got this text. Hey, Barry, love the show. My name is Angel. I'm a big fan of your show. The Cowboys fans are big babies. They brag about the 90 rings, but they can't spell playoffs. So. Mm. All right, there's that last shot. What is this call?
Justin.
I want to talk some baseball. I want to talk. We're going to get to Justin's call, but I do. We're going to, not now. We're going to talk a little baseball coming up. I want to talk Cy Young. Verlander has made his case. Wanted to see what you thought. Did you hear his case?
I heard his.
I want the people to hear the audio.
I took some heat from people on Twitter because I support him being at least a top two candidate.
Okay. We'll discuss. But let's get Justin's call out of the way real quick. He wants to talk about Texans change. Justin, what's up?
I got a couple things to talk about. I'm a big fan of the show. The first thing was everybody was talking about moving Watt last week. Try to get some assets for him, but you know, while he still has something left in the thing, of course they're all shut up now. But my buddy and I got to talking about how has he done enough? Like in the city, I see Watt. I see them having a statue out front of Reliant. He's a Texan for life and all that stuff. But has he done enough? Have you stopped taking snaps like this year? Has he done enough to get into the Hall, you think? And then the second question I had was about Brian. Again, I think we're one bad overtime call away from a tie and. Everybody's still calling for his head, but nobody has any answer as to who his replacement would be. Cornell would probably step in this year if they were to do something. But is there somebody out there that people would be happy with other than O'Brien? And I'll hang up with him. No Lions. I'm a Texans fan, but Lions.
Appreciate the call.
That was
man.
A lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. First of all,
JJ Hall of Fame?
Dude,
The resume is really good.
A couple of defensive player of the year.
Longevity always plays into it too. So it's kind of this is more like the Eli Manning discussion. Let's see how far he goes. Let's see the stats he puts up.
Two more good seasons? Three more good seasons?
In that ballpark. Because again, a defensive player, depending on the beating you take, it's not quite as short as a running back, but it's not as long as you may think in a lot of cases. But when, he just broke another record that he said in the postgame. The fact that this is his sixth time having multiple sacks in back-to-back games,
mm-hmm.
which sets a record. So every time he sets another record and puts up numbers like that, that's when people start remembering these things when the voting comes around, when the time is there. So,
As far as coaches that would replace him, yes, it would be Romeo Crennel that would take over
temporarily
mid-season.
Yeah.
It would be the most Bob McNair thing to do.
It ain't. I've said it over and over. I wrote about it.
But it's not, you're Cody Stoots.
No. It would be the most Bob McNair thing to do if they get rid of O'Brien to go out and get
Romeo Crennel.
No, he's there already. Josh McDaniels. It would be the most Patriots
of
the
South.
Exactly. He's enamored and infatuated with the Patriots, and I get it. I hope he doesn't do something like that. There's so many other candidates out there that you can go and take a look at. Just
he
please,
would,
for the love
he would
of
try,
God,
you know,
don't
he,
do that.
He would recycle Tony Dungy.
You think?
He would look for that, you know, the Gruden fix.
It could be.
That Raiders fans are really upset about because yeah. Davis had to have him. He would go and this is like he would go and he would look at Bill Cowher. He would look at guys that where the game has kind of already passed them by. It's been too long. I can see McNair doing that, but look, he's not going anywhere. The extension hasn't even kicked in yet. Yeah. He's got 4 big years coming up.
Ain't going to happen. Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. If you don't know, now you know. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. You're going to love this place. I'm telling you right now, everybody that's gone out to Cowboys and Indians and tried it has gotten back to me. Well, the ones that have gotten back to me, they've all said the same thing. Like, I thought you overhyped it. I thought it was just a sales speak and, you know, advertising talk. And Barry, the food was as good as you said it is. And I'm telling you guys, if you have not been out there yet, you need to put Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen into the rotation. Because it's not just about the Indian food. Those fusion favorites, they've got all kinds of food. They've got sliders that just are to die for. The Himalayan Heat Burger. If you're a burger connoisseur, put Cowboys and Indians on your list of must-try burgers. They've got a Himalayan Heat Burger that is outstanding. You get that 65 sauce on the side. You get that burger. I promise you, you'll be in heaven. You're going to love it. The portions are big. I've had their chicken fried steak. Man, just the chicken fried steak alone will fill you up. Never mind all the other stuff that I eat when I get there, like the veggie samosas and the non-quesadillas. But the portions are great. Everything is made from scratch and when you order it, so it's not sitting around. It's not prepared and pre-mixed. It's all made fresh for you right there. And they even have some healthy options for you. So you can get like a grilled chicken and some rice and green beans if you want to eat healthy, but you still want to have something that's delicious. And it's a great place to go and hang out, watch the game. They've got a full service bar. They've got a great beer list, a great wine list, TVs to watch the game. So you're good to go. They've got trivia nights on Wednesdays. If you're looking for something to do and you're in the Midtown area, go check them out over there. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown. Hit them up on Instagram and take a look at some of these pictures. The food tastes as good as it looks on their Instagram. That's CNI713 on Instagram if you want to check it out. It's also, you can get them on Facebook, CNI713. But 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. CNI713 on Instagram and Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world, y'all. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show. Boy, we... Man, I'll tell you what.
That went fast today, fellas.
It's going to be a full week because there's so much stuff to still get to that we didn't get to because we already started. People were hammering me that I was the one that stirred it up too early, this Cowboys-Texans thing. I just brought it up.
Who?
On Twitter and freaking tech. It's like, slow down, people.
You got to stay out of them text fields. You let me handle that. Okay. You get in there and then you get upset.
But I mean, I kind of agree with the texter. You do kind of stir it up sometimes, and I think this time it was you. You're the one who brought up the Texans and the Cowboys. Nobody else.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't even know who brought it up.
I mean,
it could have been me. I don't even remember.
Sometimes Joel gets blamed for stuff that he shouldn't get blamed for. But I'm okay with that. I'm just saying it happens.
And both of you can suck some phone balls.
Let's talk. Tyler, I promised him that we would bring this up at... Before we went off the air.
It started on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, he sent us this audio of Justin Verlander talking about his Cy Young candidacy after his game, his last outing of the year. And it's well over 2.5 minutes long, but I pulled this out. I think this is a good summary of his argument as to why he thinks he should be the Cy Young winner and what that would mean going forward.
Like I said, the body of work speaks for itself. You know, I think for me, one of the most indicative things of how you pitched is whip, you know, personally. You know, and you know, strikeouts. I'm personally very pleased. You know, I think it's an interesting vote. I think this is a vote that's going to change possibly the landscape of how Cy Young voting goes. You know, I think if you're going to take a bigger look at guys like Sale and Snell, I think you need to take a harder look at some relievers. You know, if you're going to minimize innings and just go for the spectacular numbers and fewer innings, then that brings in a whole other genre of guys that should be looked at for Cy Young. So.
Yeah, so his point is he's talking about whip, which is walk plus hits divided by innings pitched, if you don't know, and strikeouts as being two things. And his big beef is Snell has great numbers, but he's only pitched in 180 innings. Verlander's pitched 214. Of the other candidates that are in the running, Corey Kluber has 215, but everybody else hasn't even broken the 200 inning barrier. So it's really him and Kluber are the only ones. And that's part of his argument. And then he's saying strikeouts. Now, of course, he's saying strikeouts because he's blowing everybody away.
Except for Max Scherzer.
But in the American League Cy Young race. Yeah. I mean, there's nobody even coming close to the numbers that he's put up. So it's interesting that he picked out a couple of categories where he's leading the American League in. He doesn't mention earned runs. He doesn't mention wins or losses. He's lost 9 games. The only other, you know, candidate, I mean, there's 8, and Severino's lost 8. Kluber's lost 7. So the Snell's lost 5 games. He's 121. He's got a ridiculous 189 ERA, and his whip is still under 1, which is damn good. I get it. Verlander's got a 0.90 whip, but a 0.90 and a 0.97 isn't enough for me to give Verlander a Cy Young just based on that.
I think it's Snell's. I think obviously what he's also leaning on, but with what he's saying, is this is the year where wins don't matter as much simply because in the National League, DeGrom's probably going to get it because of his earned run average, even though he was on a really bad team and he's not going to have anywhere near the wins, 10 wins. So I think it's Snell's in the American League. Do I think he's going to be in the top two with the amount of national writers that I see kind of bringing some credence to what he just said? I think he's going to get votes. I think he's going to get a lot of votes. Now, do I think he's going to be? I had people on Twitter telling me yesterday he's going to be lucky to finish top three. I think he's almost guaranteed to be top three.
Who you think? Snell.
To me, Snell is 1, okay. And then it's between, I think Kluber's probably 2.
Okay.
You can't, and then I think it's Verlander, and I mean, to a lot, Garrett Cole's up there, but he's not close. Who?
Bauer.
Yeah, Trevor, and by the way, when we were talking about pitching matchups, and you were throwing it out there, and I heard a lot of people throwing it out there, and we're running a promo that says the Astro series starts on Thursday, which it doesn't. It starts on Friday. But the Indians named their first 2 starters already, and none of them's named Trevor Bauer.
That's all right.
Is there something up there? Because he's been hurt.
I don't think so.
Because they said, what ESPN was even saying, Clevinger's going to pitch game 3, Carrasco's going to pitch game 2, and no Trevor Bauer. That's very surprising to me.
So Kluber,
Carrasco, and then Clevinger is what ESPN was saying was going to be their top 3.
I would have thought Bauer would.
I thought Bauer would be in there.
Yeah.
But I think overall, when you look at, you know, all the numbers and everything like that, there's going to be a push for this being the year where wins don't matter. But I think overall, you can't argue with Snell's numbers, his body of work, and he did it with a bad team. If DeGrom's going to get it with a bad team and only get 10 wins, Snell gets another feather in his cap for getting 20 wins with a bad team.
I was going to say, Tampa won as many games as Atlanta.
Yeah, they were.
Atlanta made the playoffs. They just got screwed because of where they play.
His numbers across the board, his earned run average. 90
wins? Tampa won 90 games this year. That's a good baseball team, and he was a big part. I mean, he got 21 of those 90 wins. Right. So he deserves it. I think part of the problem with the Cleveland pitchers is they're going to split votes. You got Kluber, Bauer, Clevinger, and Carrasco, or
Cole's going to take some from Verlander, don't you think?
That's 4 pitchers in the top 11 in baseball, probably.
Do you think that?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at like WAR and stuff like that, those guys at WAR when it comes to pitchers, top 11. The Indians have 4 pitchers in the top 11.
Indians have
ridiculous.
4. The Astros have 2 pretty much everywhere with Cole and Verlander.
Yeah.
Probably would have had more, but at the end of the year, Charlie Morton got hurt.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think Blake Snell is going to win this. I think the Rays is a feel-good story. Unfortunately, I think Verlander will be a runner-up again.
You think he'll finish second?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, for people to say he won't even snip the top three, I told the guy to look at the numbers like three different times, and he's like, what numbers? I'm like, obviously, I don't want to bore anybody else, and I don't want to spend the time to have to point out what you should already know.
Right. So. Yeah, I mean, when you look at – you have to take into account ERA. You have to take into account whip, war, wins, innings pitch, strikeouts, all those come into play. I think it's a three-horse race between Snell, Kluber, and Verlander. And I think Verlander
again,
will finish
Kluber
second.
Kluber got 20 wins. Yep. Snell got 20 wins. So wins 21. Obviously – okay, I'm just saying 20 plus.
Yeah.
But obviously wins are important when two of the other two guys have gotten over 20. Now, I've mentioned this before, but you look at Verlander's situation, look at the amount of games that he left with a lead. It's at least six that he left with a lead only to have a no decision.
Man, you talk about numbers that are similar, though, him and Kluber. 214 and 215 innings. I mean, the wins aren't really that close, 16 and 20. But the ERA, 252 and 289, 0.9 and a 0.99 whip. Numbers between Kluber and Verlander are very similar. Mm-hmm. Very, very similar. I mean, Kluber obviously has more wins than him. So you can make the case for both. I just think, I think it'll be.
I think it's for second.
Yep. Second place will probably be pretty close between those two. But I think Snell's going to win that. So, all right. Before we get out of here, man, I want to tell you guys about a place that I'm glad that I found in Vortex. Vortex is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. It's a great workout, man. I'm always trying to find ways to burn calories, get in shape, and not spend hours doing it. And that's Vortex. Their class is 45 minutes long. And when I was talking to the instructor last time I was there, he said, dude, some of our folks will burn up to 500 calories in one 45-minute class. That's insane. And those boxing classes, those rumble classes, they're a lot of fun. There's this big room. If you go, they're even on Instagram, Vortex Texas. But if you go check out their boxing studio, they've got these heavy bags in a circle. They dim the lights. They pump up the music. And they get you going. So no one's sitting there watching and judging you. But you can still get in shape and have some fun doing it and learn how to box a little bit. It's not like they just aren't teaching you basic fundamentals. After a couple of years of taking Muay Thai and learning how to throw a punch, I can tell you that in this first class that I took, they show you how to throw a jab the right way. So you're learning some cool fundamentals about boxing, but you're also getting in shape at the same time. And if that's not your thing, don't worry about it. They have rumble classes for you. Those spin classes, a great full body workout as well. Just a little bit different than doing the boxing. But the spin room, man, it's great. It's Vortex, only spin studio in Houston with three rows of bikes, 48 total. Pretty cool. Affordable too, man. $25 for a spin or a rumble class, $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week, and you can get a monthly unlimited rumble or ride membership for only $195. And you'll like the locker rooms are awesome. You can charge your phone in the lockers themselves. They got USB ports, all kind of cool stuff in there, and all the equipment that you need. So you don't have to worry about getting gloves and wraps and all that. They have the shoes for the spin classes, everything there, morning and afternoon classes, and super easy to get to, 1707 West Gray. For more information, check out vortextexas.com. That's vortextexas.com. And when you sign up, tell them Barry sent you.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.